You're listening to the Thoroughly Good Classical Music Podcast. My name is John Jacob. This episode spotlights a new release from cellist Tim Posner. Recorded weeks ago, this episode has, I'm sorry to say, fallen victim to all manner of technical challenges. Publication has been delayed as a result, but all good things come to those who wait, and this is good. Tim Posner's debut album includes music by Bloch, Bruch and Dohnányi. The music speaks for itself, especially the rarely heard concertstück by Dohnányi. Posner's playing is full-bodied, heartfelt and huggable, if you know what I mean. A thoroughly good highlight of 2024. I urge you to listen to it in full.
I'm Tim Posner. I'm a cellist. I actually started playing the violin when I was 5. My dad is a violist and my mum's cellist. And the violin wasn't much of a success. And a couple of years later, I asked my mum if I could start playing cello. She had a suspicion that it would end up the same way as the violin did. So she was a little bit skeptical at first. It worked out and she actually taught me, which was a great teacher.
Oh, no, hang on now. We got to the truth of it, actually. She was skeptical because she didn't want to teach you.
That might have been it, yeah.
Right.
I wasn't the easiest kid. But she taught me until I was 14, which was great.
When did you start? When did you start then?
When I was 8.
So you had already attempted the violin before you were 8 years old?
Yes, so when I was 5, I started the violin. Initially, I think my dad gave me my first ever few lessons, and then he gave me over somebody else.
There's a pattern emerging, which is either your parents are not very good at teaching, or perhaps you are a problem. You're a problem pupil.
I think it's probably the latter.
Okay, right.
But I got easier. I got much easier.
Okay. Why do you do it?
I don't know whether when I started that was the case, but I love it more than anything else. It's most of what I think about, other than when Arsenal are playing, and then that takes up my attention for a couple of hours. But I do, I love music more than anything, and it's...
We are so not going to be talking about football, because I know nothing about football. But do you have any friends who are not in the... This is a slightly personal question, but do you have any friends who are not in the classical music world?
Not really. And that's not a decision. That's just that I don't tend to meet people that... None of my siblings are musicians. So I've got a younger sister and an older sister and... brother, and none of them musicians, so they're basically very close friends as well as siblings. So that's my link to the normal jobs.
But presumably they are interested in classical music because of your parents.
Well, the reason why I didn't list my younger sister initially is because she used to play the violin and she knows quite a lot of classical music, and so she's more interested in it than the older two are. None of them are particularly interested.
How do you persuade them? I've been having this conversation with lots of people. How do you appeal to the people who are not in the room? That's basically the question.
I just don't try with the older two, because they will come and listen to me, but only to support me. And I know that they don't really love it, and they've been surrounded. They have a different dad from me, and he's a cellist as well. So they've been surrounded by musicians their entire life, and it's not something that they've ended up loving. So I don't think... I think it's a bit of a...
They are rebelling. They're rebelling.
Wow. But my younger sister, she does like music, particularly music she's played. So she comes to hear me play. So the album came about I was invited to Sommet Musical de Gestalt in Switzerland last February. So this, that they have a different instrument every year, and I think about 10 to 12 cellists were invited, young cellists, to play a recital. And they were invited by Stephen Isselis and Renaud Capuçon. The main prize was that you would then be able to record a concerto CD with the Berner Symphony Orchestra, and that was from the festival itself and from Klaver's Records. The first thing I knew I wanted to record was Bloch's Shalomo. It's a deeply profound piece of music, which I've always loved. I remember listening to it as a teenager and I fell in love with it instantly. And I'd never got the chance to play it. I think one of the reasons why it doesn't come up so often is it's got a huge orchestration. And Bloch isn't necessarily the sort of piece which brings in an audience like Dvorak Concerto would do. So as soon as I got the opportunity to propose my own repertoire, that was something which was a very easy choice.
It is an incredibly personal statement, isn't it? I mean, it's when I hear it, I hear material which feels incredibly personal.
Absolutely, yeah. It's got such an intense spectrum of emotions, and so many of them are very inward feeling, lonely, despairing, ranging through to some of the greatest climaxes I know in music, especially in the huge orchestral tutties. Absolutely, it's incredibly personal. But
does that also make it quite difficult to program then? If you are putting together a program of not necessarily on an album, I get it slightly easier on an album, but in terms of a concert, that must, as wonderful and profound as the work is, that must make it actually quite difficult to put other stuff around it.
Yeah. To be honest, I've never thought about what one would program it with in a
I don't suppose you need
setting.
To worry about that, do you, really? Have I got the gig? Am I going to get paid? fair enough.
I'm not sure what one would program alongside that, but it is a deeply tragic piece of music.
Yes.
with very little hope in it.
You're really selling it.
Yeah, I mean that in the most amazing way.
He said, laughing and crying and shaking uncontrollably. Yeah. It's really fantastic. You must listen to it.
there's this one very short passage where we go into the major briefly, which Bloch himself retrospectively describes as a vision of peace and justice. But this is very short-lived, and and then returns to. But it is. I mean, I love very sad music often, and this is a But it's not limited to just being sad. It's got so much grandeur. It's heroic in certain ways, and it's I think I really believe one of the great works of the 20th century, especially if you think of works for cello and orchestra. I don't think there's a greater work than that. Maybe the Elgar Concerto, but it's so different from that, and I think it's really amazing.
How old were you when you first heard it?
Yeah, I was thinking about this yesterday, actually, and I don't know, but I imagine I must have been 11. I've never heard it in concert. I feel like it's been recorded a lot more than it's been performed. Because it's not been recorded anywhere near as many times as, say, Dvorak or Schumann or Elgar or the Haydn concertos, but there are a number of recordings of it. So I imagine I was about 11 or 12, and at that age, I probably would have heard Rostropovich's recording of it.
Okay. Do you recall, clearly you speak with great precision about what effect it has on you, but do you recall knowing that or feeling that at the time? Trying to get a sense of what impact a recording like that might have had on you as a young person.
I think I was, I just found it very emotional at the time. I probably wouldn't have been able to verbalize what I found so emotional about it, but it was deeply moving. And interestingly, I've always loved Jewish music. I remember as a very young teenager, a piece that I used to play a lot was Bloch's Prayer, which I loved playing. Actually, I haven't played it since then, and it's something which I would like to do again. But it's that music spoke to me straight away as soon as I started playing it. And Shalema is obviously it's the same language, just on a far greater scale.
I have this sense that with particularly emotional music, when exposed to that very early on in life, we learn stuff, not necessarily about ourselves, but we are exposed to emotional expression in a way that maybe today younger people aren't as much.
Possibly. I mean, I know myself, there are so many distractions now, just having a phone with you the whole time, it's so easy to do something else rather than sit there and listen to a CD, which I really remember doing when I was 11, 12. I remember a few other pieces which I listened to and then listened to for days on repeat. The first one of them was Beethoven Triple Concerto. I was completely obsessed with that. And Brahms Double.
Wow.
And Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto as well. And it's funny, I agree. I think it's less likely that an 11-year-old now would be given a CD and they would spend a couple of days listening to it.
No, I wonder whether there's also something that there's almost something about the act of putting a physical thing into a drawer, in the same way that as a kid I was completely obsessed with the record player. I didn't understand how, obviously I'm considerably older, and I imagine that you don't recall records. I could be wrong.
I've actually listened to more records later in my life than
right. Okay, so you really have shown your age. That's great. I'm feeling really old now. I do remember being utterly obsessed by the process of the record player.
Yeah,
and there was something utterly beguiling about it, which is what drove me to put stuff on and therefore to listen, because the technology just seemed to blow me, just seemed to fascinate me. And maybe there is an element of putting a physical device into something which contributes to the experience.
Yeah, I had one of those portable CD players that I carried around me with a little pair of headphones which weren't wireless in those days.
I have an image of you wandering down the street with headphones on and a big CD player listening to Tchaikovsky. It's a very odd image.
Thank you. what else would I like to put alongside the Bluff? The Bluff was quite an easy choice because that's obviously also very much connected to Jewish music. Bush himself wasn't Jewish, he was actually Protestant, but the Kol Nidre is based on two Hebrew melodies, the first of which comes from the evening service of Yom Kippur, which the cantor sings. And so, I mean, this is, has this, also a very strong biblical connection, different to Shlomo, as I say, because Bush himself wasn't Jewish, but it's taken straight from the service, and it's again a piece that I loved as a teenager. I've always enjoyed playing, and I'd actually said a number of times this is something that I would like to record one day, and so that felt like a really nice pairing and opportunity to do that as well.
I've heard the Dohnányi Concertstück for the first time. I think I'm right in saying it's rarely played or rarely recorded. Is that right?
Both. And basically unknown to most cellists as well.
I mean, it is so immediate. First subject in the opening bar, it's like, wow, we're there already. Tell me about the rest of the work. Where does it go from there?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's exactly the word I would use to describe it, is it immediate. It's just so incredibly joyful and sort of helplessly involved in the best sense possible. Where does it go from there? To be honest, it's such an ecstatic work. It just basically... that doesn't stop, which is kind of why I loved it so much. It's helplessly joyous, and it's written in as it's through composed, so it's not broken up into movements, but it's still got a clear structure. So it's basically in three movements, but they're all linked by bridging passages. The first and the last are based on the same material, and he develops the last movement into via a longer cadenza, and then we return to the opening material again. But it's basically comes out of this initial ecstasy and continues in that manner. And I remember I didn't know the piece before I started thinking about what I might record, and I played his cello sonata quite a lot, and I remember the pianist Joe Havlett, who I played the sonata with, said to me, even I think it was about 6 months before I got this opportunity to record the CD, he said, if you get a chance, play a Concertstück with orchestra, because you'll love it. And he knows exactly the sort of music that I love. And I think I listened to about 12 bars of it before knowing, okay, that's going on the CD. So this Dohnányi is completely unrelated to the Bloch and the Kol Nidre. And at first I thought, would it be nice to have a program in which everything had a connection? And I thought, no, actually this is something I really want to play.
Thank you. Now, presumably it's because it's quite early in Dark Nani. I mean, it's not the Dark Nani that I know from later in his output.
No, absolutely. I mean, sometimes in early Dosh Nani, you literally hear quotes. And I kind of love the fact that he loved Brahms that much that you can hear it in his music. And it doesn't make me like the music any less. Friendly. it's just so likable. But Dosh Nani is a funny composer in that there are a few pieces of music of his which are played a lot, and then a lot of his music is almost completely neglected. And it's not because that the other bits of music are less good or very different. It's just that people don't, for some reason, don't know it. I've often thought this about Dosh Nani and a couple of other composers. We're always trying to unearth music from the past that we haven't heard or we don't know about composers that which I'm all in favour of doing, because there's so much interesting stuff which has also been forgotten. But I do find it interesting that a composer as mainstream as Dosh Nani, that so much of his music is basically neglected. Same with the cello sonata. Almost no cellist knows this sonata, and it's just as... Maybe I think the concerto is even more likable, but it's so good.